Two-part, but a two-piece lesson, I guess. Different topics, but a general overview of the book of Colossians. And if you would have your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 3, I want us to spend this evening in this chapter. As we think about this, as I said this morning, reading this book, there's just kind of two things that just kind of ring true for me. And one of them is having Christ at the center of your life so that you can repel all the false doctrine out there and live the way you ought to live. Have the encouragement and good faith to know where you ought to be heading and where you need to be heading and live so that you will be heading there. But also, perhaps the chapter that most people think about with Colossians is chapter 3. Maybe not, but probably for the in-depth student of the word, but perhaps a large portion of the general population of the kingdom, we think of Colossians, we think of these first few verses of chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. There's even a song in our songbook. It's number 444. It's titled, Set Your Mind. Really focused on the sentiments of the early part of this chapter. We think about that, and we think about this concept he lays forth here. Set your mind on the things that are above. Or as I've said, focus on things above. Throughout this chapter, he deals with kind of four areas. I say four areas. You might be able to compartmentalize some of these and into a couple, but I've got them broken out into four. And I say four, and really there's only three points to the lesson because the last point hits two of them. Kind of a comparison, not really comparison, but covering two areas of one's life. But as we think about that idea of focusing on things above, that is not just something we do one day a week or as we come together for Bible study on Wednesdays, maybe a couple days a week for a little while. This is meant to be something that is a minute-by-minute process, an hour-by-hour process, a day-by-day process, week-by-week, month-by-month, year-by-year, as you go on through life. It's meant to be all of that. And that's what Paul's getting at for these. And really, when you think about that verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, you go back and think about verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, they had been. Many of the people he's writing to had been raised with Christ. And really, that verse, as it looks back towards the arguments made for keeping Christ as the focal point of your life, in 1 and 2, he now declares again, set your mind on things above. Don't focus on those doctrines. And as he'll go through this chapter, don't focus on the things of this life. As we think about that in our lesson tonight, we want to hit these points. We're going to make some observations and move on through the lesson. I hope it's useful for you. I've got all these on the screen together. It's one slide. It's not a whole lot of bells and whistles with this one tonight. But I want us to think about this first. I want us to think about first about focusing on... Oh, I don't have to... Whoa, hold on a second. You guys sat there and you let me do that. You're mean. You're all mean people. You're just mean. You're mean. I hear one cackling out there. It's really mean. Wonder who that is. Anyway, it'll be on the screen in a second. You'll see it there. But the idea of focusing on things above externally is the first point we want to make. And there's a need to focus on things above now. Focus on things above externally. Think about verses 5 through 11, if you will. You have your Bibles open? Let's read those verses and think about that. Therefore, treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, the New American Standard reads. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And then you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also rid yourselves of all of them, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. That section of Scripture, he's talking about the focus, the need to focus on things above externally. Why do I say externally? Because all these things can be seen. They're seen. And I say they're seen. One might say, well, how is evil desire seen? It's seen by those close to us. Greed is seen by those close to us. I mean, there may not be a look that screams greed, but there's a mentality that screams it. You think about the other things. Sexual immorality is known. It's an act that's known. It's certainly known to the people involved in it. And probably eventually will be known by more than that. More often than not, that's the case. Very hard to hide that. It's hard to hide the passion, the impurity. It's hard to hide those things. But not only that, not only those acts, he says, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That behavior, he says, that behavior is not focused on things above. It's not. You need to put that stuff away. He starts by talking about things that need to be put off. Put off. You need to get rid of this. And it's not only those things he talks about, but as we move forward, notice what he says in verse 7, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. You used to be that way, he says, but you're not anymore. The value of them not being that way anymore is that they're now prepared to fight against the other things that are coming. But now you also rid yourselves of all of them. Now we talk about things like anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene speech from your mouth. These are all external things. They're all seen. We see people use foul language every day. Whether it be take the Lord's name in vain or some other guttural utterance. That's a fancy way of saying curse, in case you're wondering. We see that. It's evident. It is out there to be seen. That they were to get rid of. Not that they were doing it, but he's saying make sure it's gone. Anger is seen. Wrath is seen. Malice is seen. Slander is heard. They're all external things that tickle these senses. And I say they tickle them. Our senses are aware of them. We are aware of slanderous individuals. People who seek to talk poorly about somebody in a way that's not right, not true. We see all these things. He's saying they needed to get rid of them. Well, how do we do that in our lives? That's fine for them, but how do we do that in our own lives? Well, I say we must abstain from the worldly thoughts and actions. We've got to, as we live day to day, we need to be living like forgiven sinners live. And I want us to think about how forgiven sinners live. Certainly in the first century, as Jesus walked the earth, the Pharisees had a walk about them that was a little puffed up, maybe, if you want to look at it that way. It was certainly, maybe we would call it, they maybe at times they were a little too big for their britches. They walked in a way that kind of they thought they were better than other people. That's not how the forgiven sinner walks. Because here's the thing, we are forgiven sinners. We are that. Every day we're a forgiven sinner. So, how does a forgiven sinner walk? He walks in a way that shows gratitude to the one who's forgiven him. Certainly we have been forgiven by those out in the world. But who have we been forgiven by first and foremost? We've been forgiven by God. God having, as we talked about this morning, Christ has erased the debt. Back in chapter 2, verse 14. God, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, when I obey the gospel, there's a debt wiped away. Now, from there, am I just supposed to walk around, whoo, thank goodness, I don't have to worry about that anymore? No. I need to walk in a way that expresses gratitude to the one who's forgiven me for something that would have left me in the darkness of hell for eternity. I need to walk in a way that's grateful to Him. And that gratitude is shown. And I know we've talked about this, perhaps you're thinking to yourself, ad nauseum, but that concept of walking in His path, showing that I love Him, it is important for the world to see that. When the world sees us focusing on things above externally, how I speak, how I conduct myself with other people, my day-to-day interactions, that shows whether I'm focused on things above. And if I'm going to declare myself a Christian, I need to be walking that way. And when I do so, then I'm doing what I need to be doing in respect to the first part of this chapter. I'm focusing on things above externally, and I'm doing it not just, like I say, once or two, three, four times a week, but it's a minute by minute, hour by hour, and that I recognize that can come off as onerous to some. Well, I got to be that way every minute of every hour of every day. You mean I'm trying to be perfect the rest of my life? It's an effort. That's the thing. It's an effort that has to be made. Does it mean I'm friends with Jerry's son, Nate, on Facebook. Probably some of you are too. As some of the interaction on Facebook has been lately, we're baseball fans, a little bit. And we've talked a little bit about, we've talked back and forth about baseball and football a little bit this time of year. Baseball is going to come in the middle part of April. Baseball players' effort to do well, the ones who do really well, get hits about 3 out of 10 times. That's failing 7 out of 10 times, and that can beat one up. But here's the thing. You continue to make the effort. They continue to make the effort to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, that is, get a hit. I say that to say this. There are going to be days where we may fail. That does not mean, and we should not ever take our failure as I've fallen off the cart and I'm down in the ditch and I'm never going to be seen or heard from again. No, God is there to pick us up. When we ask forgiveness, He is there to take us back and to again have us strive to focus on things above externally. We continue to make the effort. We don't quit. We don't quit if we want to be with our Father in heaven when this life is over. But the next thing we have, verses 12 through 17, focusing on things above internally. He first talks about the things that need to be put off. And that's what we see in 5 and 8. Characteristics, qualities that need to be put off. Read with me now 12 through 17 of chapter 3. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. The New American Standard will occasionally plug words in italics to grammatically finish the thought. You take those out, and here's how that last part reads. Just as the Lord forgave you, so you also. They don't add to the meaning. They don't take anything away. They just put it in a way that our English expresses it the way we would. So you also, he says. In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule in your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing of thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through Him to God the Father. He wants to think about now things that need to be put on. He says, put on a heart of compassion. How does the forgiven sinner walk? They walk in such a way that they're ready to show the same compassion to others that God has shown to us. We try to show the same patience. He talks about putting that on. We want to be God-like. We want to be godly people. To be that is to be one who, I don't want to say acts like God. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to be God. But what we are trying to do is follow the charge that we're given, which is to be imitators of Him, be imitators of the Son, so much as we can be. One way we can imitate is by having compassion on those around us, by having patience with those around us. Kindness, he says, humility, gentleness. The idea of bearing with one another, that extends the concept of patience, gives us an idea of how patience looks. It is, part of it is bearing with one another. There are times where our patience may be extended some, tried. Talked with a mother one time who prayed for patience after her first child was born. And not long after that, the second child was born. I'm not sure what that really meant in the grand scheme of things. I don't know if when she asked for patience, if the Lord decided, well, here's your second child. Now, here's real practice at it. But the idea of praying for these things, praying for these to grow in us, is a good concept for us. Praying that our compassion grows, that our kindness grows. We live in a world where people can't be, we got people out here in the world who can't be nice to one another for nothing. They just can't do it. They can't pull it off. How do we do this in our lives? We have got to do this by pushing forward with the idea. It may not be popular. It may not be what's going to get me the most friends in life. But it will have me the one friend I need. Actually, the three friends I need. It'll have me the Father, the Son, and the Spirit on my side. And those three trump any friendship I can find in this life. But these things are internal. They're internal, but then they're shown. They first are internalized. Then as they're put into practice, they're seen. They are internal first, then external second. We've got to have these things showing up in our lives. And I know it's a challenge. It's not easy. I say we need to have them show up in our lives, and there's part of me that wants to move on, but I also want to sit here and realize that the situation is such that we don't just say that and move on. We've got to work at it. It is, again, an effort daily. There's going to be days where my patience may be tried to the point that I lose it. Next day we pick up and keep moving. Okay? And on with the other things as well. Because what the world needs to see in me is they need to see, as Paul talked to Galatians 2:20, what the world needs to see in me is they need to see Jesus. And I've got to work at that. It's not something that happens at the snap of a finger. It's a lifelong process. It is. So we continue to plug away at it. You think about how that continues to look, though. You move forward in the text from 12 through 14. Here's the thing. That internalizing those things, the focusing on things above it internally, isn't just putting on those things. It is also letting the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. It's letting all of it sink in and take root. It's letting it all, just come in me and into the deepest parts of me. Come in and take root. And with that, the teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I was in college in UNA. In Florence, Alabama. UNA's University of North Alabama. It's located in Florence, Alabama, and I attended at a pretty good-sized congregation, the Help Drive Church of Christ. And there was a whole bunch of us there, college-age kids, and we kind of had a section. We had a section of the front pews. Had about three of them where we had people from the ages of 18 to about 30. So even those who had kind of moved on from college and were young adults still, we had that section segmented off except for one part of one row. There was two older couples that sat there, and we didn't try to nudge them out. We really enjoyed them. One fellow was a guy who had been a great singer most of his life. He had. He was to the point now, though, where he had hearing aids. It didn't work very well. And I don't say that other than to make an acknowledgement for him. They didn't work very well. But he still enjoyed singing. And he sang. He taught me a lot about this right here. Because he continued to praise God from his heart. Did he know he probably didn't sound good? I don't know. We never told him that. but he taught me how to teach with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You teach with the verbiage, not the melody. It's the words of the song. It's the effort that's put into it that's important. It's an effort. Will there come a day where we're all in heaven? Yes, there will come that day where the saved, the redeemed will be with the Lamb, that will be with the Father. At that point in time, we'll be singing a lot, I suspect. And we'll have different bodies, we'll have different voices. I suspect it'll be a wonderful thing to hear. But in the interim, we have our time together to teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that comes from in here. It doesn't come from here and here. The teaching's from in here. More like in here. You understand what I mean. Focusing on things above externally, focusing on things above internally. Those are important things. And these are day-to-day things in our lives, and this is part of what he's talking about to them. The constant focus, the constant effort to focus on things above, externally and internally, doesn't leave us much time for the other. When we fill our time up with the good stuff, we don't have time for the bad. It makes it easier. We end the lesson with this last point. Focus on things above at home and at work. I said I had two of them kind of hit in here in the last point of the lesson. But read with me 18 through 21 of chapter 3. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not become bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not antagonize your children so that they will not become discouraged. In Ephesians 6, if you want to turn back over there with me, we get a companion passage there. And these two are, without breaking new ground, these two are companion letters, Ephesians and Colossians. But in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Much the same thought. There is just a little bit of difference in the letter to the Colossians, as the wives are discussed in a little bit more than they are in Ephesians 6, both in being subject to their husbands, but husbands loving the wife. 20 and 21 may be more focused on that. That little bit. But we think about those things. We think about that. And focusing on things above at home is going to lead us to have the right type of life at home, the right type of home life. And that's important to have, because what did we talk about this morning? We talked about in our Bible class, we ended class talking about, at the end of Matthew 7, we were talking about the foundation of the rock, the foundation of the sand, and how the house that's built on the foundation that was laid with rock, that house is going to stand more because it had a foundation. Really, the foundation of sand is no foundation at all. Husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, have a finite amount of time with their children to set the foundation. To set the foundation for eternity, with which the child will build on once they grow up to the point they're ready to leave the house. We need to take advantage of the time that we have. We live in a world where we have the family under assault. It is under assault. Father, mother, and child. Many out in the world don't practice it that way. Many don't. I'm not saying everybody does. I'm not saying everybody skips out on it, but many don't. Some do. There are others, though, who we have in the world who are striving to redefine the family. The family is a foundational unit. It's the second institution. I'm saying that, and there might be some in the audience who'll disagree with me. I think the first institution was marriage, when Adam and Eve are put together as mates. The family's the next thing established. the family's important. God wants good family units in the church. And it's easier to bring people to the church when these foundations are set up. We need to have this in our lives. Wives and mothers have a role to fill, as well as husbands and fathers, in this. They do. Children also have a role to fill. Where the success of the family unit is when everyone is focusing on heaven as the goal. Everyone's got to focus on that as the goal. Father, mother, child all have to be in agreement that's where they want to be. And that's the direction. The direction the family is going to be guided is in this, is in such a way that we are going to be with our Father in heaven when this life is over. That's the Father's charge, really, in guiding the family. Now with that, we also need to realize that, you know, both as we look at the world, we look outside the world, there's going to be times we cannot drag people kicking and screaming to heaven. We're not going to get anybody there that way. So what we have to do is we have to make sure, both at home and at work, that we're living the way that we ought to live and being what we ought to be. And I say that in the home, as we provide the right guidance, work on providing the right examples and the right encouragement, and plant and water, and God gives the increase. We talk about how to live at work. Read with me the rest of the chapter, 3:22 and forward. Slaves, obey those who are human masters in everything. Not with eye service, but as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord and not for people, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For the one who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. That's verse 1 of chapter 4. We certainly need to be good employers and good employees. The reason for that is that we desire the things above. And we need to realize something. We have a kind and generous master in Jehovah God. And as we serve him spiritually and we serve him in every part of our lives, we need to also serve him in being a good employee in this life. We serve him by doing that. And we serve our employer as well. But to do all that, to do these two things, to the living at home, the living at work, what must we do? We must put into practice the things we've talked about externally and internally. When we do those things, then the result of this is going to be, it certainly ought to be, a God-focused effort, a heaven-focused effort. And with that, we can strive every day. We have that effort and have that focus, then we can get where we want to be. Now with that, as we get ready to sing the song here in just a moment, Harold selected number 266, I believe it is. We think about this as we wrap this up, to focus on things above, as Paul encourages in this chapter. One has to make sure the old man is gone. And I mean gone. And the new man has to be fully put on. Paul gives us the way to put all the qualities of the new man on. And he tells us how we look when we have them fully incorporated in our lives. Our goal needs to be to fully incorporate these things in our lives and acclimate to the life that God wants for us so that we can lay hold of the things above. Going back to verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. May God bless us in this and grant us the time to do this in our lives. Where are you at on your journey?